Welcome to Heroes Asylum, issue 111 or 111. I am Kane. I'm doing this show solo. Unfortunately, Mike is not with us this weekend. He's a little bit under the weather. So if you guys want to reach out to him through our Facebook page, wish him some well wishes, do so. We appreciate that. He'll be back next week, rest assured. And going forward, he'll be back. Yeah, so he's just a little bit sick. So I'm just going to do the show solo today. So just bear with me. I got some thoughts. I got some news. And we're going to start off right up top with my review of The Falcon and Winter Soldier, Episode 5. To me, probably the best of the episodes that I have seen so far this year. I think starting with the episode that John Walker, when he killed one of those super soldiers, basically he's going after Kari. She's one of the super soldiers as well, but one of her brothers, I think it was Devochich, the one that he killed. I'm not too sure about the name, but I know it was one of her friends. And of course, the iconic moment where you see at the ending of last week's episode, the shield with blood on it. I had an argument with Mike, and he's right, and then I think he's wrong, because he basically said, because I remembered specifically, I was telling him that, you know, to me, that's one of the most iconic moments in Marvel history, as far as imagery goes, you know, seeing that shield with blood on it. And his rebuttal basically was, well, Cap has used that shield before. He's been killing Nazis, he's been mowing them down, and I agree with that. But we never saw it. All the killing that was done was off screen. Never happened in that area. You never saw it. It was and Cap is basically built that way. He's the Boy Scout. He's the good guy. He's a super soldier. He does everything right by the numbers, everything by the book. And that basically, what that did with the shield bleeding is it kind of tarnished everything that Cap did. It tore him down. Like it took, like the shield is a symbol of hope and freedom, kind of like the American flag. That's what the shield kind of stands for. And that's what basically this Falcon and Winter Soldier series has been about. You know, who's going to take up the mantle of the shield? You know, at first it's supposed to be Sam. Sam doesn't want the responsibility. We find out in the episode that Bucky had a conversation with Steve about giving Sam the shield because it was never going to be Bucky. But they wanted it to be Sam. But they never thought in their heads, well, wait a minute, it's a black guy. Those thoughts never came to their heads. And Bucky even referred to it. He's like, well, you know, we didn't even realize that. Because they like Bucky and Steve, they never saw skin color. They just saw a person right there. And it's going to get back to probably the best moment in the episode where Sam and Bucky, they go to visit Isaiah Washington, who was, of course, He was the first, one of the first black super soldiers out there in the experiment they talk about in Korea. And basically, Isaiah breaks it down to Sam, like, look, you know, they experimented on me. I was one of the last ones to survive. I was in jail for 30 years. And you find out also in this series that, I'm not sure if you guys remember, he was the one that took off Bucky's arm, which I found awesome. I love the way the MCU ties things together of little things that we don't notice. Like, you know, the last time we saw Bucky from the original Captain America to Winter Soldier, you know, he's got longer hair, but he lost his arm. And we all assumed that, okay, he lost his arm when he fell off the train. But then we find out in this series, no, it was Isaiah Washington. They had an encounter, and basically Isaiah tore it off, and they had some kind of issue when he was the Winter Soldier. So I find that kind of cool. But the conversation between Sam and Isaiah basically says, you know, why would you want that shield? That shield is not us, basically talking about. Now, I can't speak for the African-American race. I have some African-American friends who probably can relate to this very deeply, but I had empathy as Carl Lumbly. Carl Lumbly, if you guys don't know who he is, he was in an old school TV series on Fox called Mantis, which I thought was really good ahead of its time. And then, of course, if you guys are big Justice League animated fans, he was the voice of the Martian Manhunter for a couple seasons. He's one of the best actors out there. And he was also on Supergirl. He was playing the father of Martian Manhunter too. So I thought that was really a nice little connect there. And the performance that he had basically breaking down saying, look, you know, that shield was built for somebody blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white. You know, they will never accept a black man wearing that shield. And basically he's just saying, don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth the trouble or the effort of doing that. Gotta get water. I get a little parched sometimes. So if I pause a little bit, I do apologize. Just I get a little tad parched. But he's telling him, like, this is not worth it. This is not the time you should do it. And we find out also that while he was in prison, he meets this nurse. And the nurse basically does some kind of, he had empathy for him, basically forged these death records so he could leave and live out the rest of his life, not in prison, but basically outside. We also find out that while he was in prison, his wife had, he had a wife that passed away, and the nurse basically gave him all the letters that his wife had written him while he was in prison, and he never got them. So, you know, Isaiah Washington, to me, has been, you know, not a physical form character. You know, well, he's physically there, but he's not in action, but his words and the performance by Carl Lumbly, just Marvel somehow does it. They bring in these good character actors. They're not in a lot of scenes, right? But they're in certain scenes that add to the depth of the Marvel universe. Like Robert Redford, he was in there for a little bit as the secretary. You know, they find these actors who are actors to play these roles for specific reasons. It just adds to the story. And Isaiah Washington is one of those guys that, like, after seeing this episode, I want to see an Isaiah Washington. I want to see what he was like as a super soldier back in the 50s. You know, that's a series they should really just think about. Think about how the black community can get behind that, you know? And the thing about it is, it was not forced either. You could see it, like the relation, the history that goes back, you know? And Steve never knew about this super soldier at all. Basically, it basically shows that after Steve, they were trying to create more super soldiers, trying to make this experiment work. And of course, they had failures along the way. And Isaiah was not a failure, but there's one of those that, hey, you know, we don't want to do this, but we just want to cover it up. And they didn't get it back. But that series, that whole little scene right there, very powerful, held true to form. And it sticks with you, and it sticks with me. After that, we see basically Bucky and Sam, they're going back to the farm. They have the shield with it, basically. You know, before we get to the shield, I mean, the opening of this series, I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. The opening of the episode was incredible. One of the best three-way fights. I think this fight trumps the fight that Bucky, Tony, and Steve had, which I thought was a good fight. And that had something powerful behind it. This one also had something powerful behind it. And it shows how powerful John Walker is as a soldier. He basically almost took both of them out because he has a super soldier syndrome, but he was basically built as a soldier. Now, that's one of the things that people don't realize, I think, about John Walker. Where Steve Rogers became Captain America, you know, he was Skinny Steve at first. He wasn't trained for any of this. John Walker was trained. John Walker went through the rigors of all of that stuff. Steve did as well, but he was more built to be a Captain America. And we find out later on, that towards the end of the episode, that he claims he is Captain America. And his reasoning, if you think about it, is not wrong. His speech during his court-martial, he says, like, look, I have taken bullets for this country. I have done everything you have asked of me. I make one mistake, and now you're going to throw me away like I'm nothing? Another powerful scene, basically saying, hey, no, you know what? I am Captain America. Just scenes like that stick. This episode, like I said, a lot of good stuff in it. Anyway, let me backtrack to that fight scene. One of the best. Basically, John rips apart the Falcon's wings. They're destroyed. They beat Walker up, and they take back the shield. And once they take back the shield, they go back to the farm, and they're basically doing the Rocky montage, training with the shield. Bucky's showing him how to throw it and catching it because, you know, Bucky, you know, but you would assume Bucky knew how to throw the shield, and basically the Winter Soldier, he caught the shield. So, you know, a guy like that would know how to use it. And you see Sam, like, falling around, trying to catch shield, jumping and run, doing his little running montage. But eventually he does get to it. And towards the end of the episode, we find out that this suitcase from Wakanda is there. And we know what's in there when he opens it up towards the end of the episode. We know it's going to be the Captain America gear, new set of wings. I'm not sure what it looks like. They haven't had any leaked posts online yet. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be the Captain America uniform that Sam was wearing. And I think as I was talking and as I was watching this episode, because I was talking to somebody and texting at the same time, this is one of the best buildups to a new Captain America I've had, because I was backtracking of all the movies that we've seen Sam in. Winter Soldier, all right? Civil War, Avengers. Now this, the buildup has been there. He was Ant-Man also. The buildup has been there. And I've always talked about my other podcast, Love Bulls and Chair Shots, of the story, the buildup to a character earning, you know, I call it the hero's journey. And Sam, very silently, methodically, through and the MCU, has had that hero's journey. And now he's going to get the shield. And I think, I didn't think about it till I thought about it. The journey is incredible. And he's well worth that shield. And I can't wait till we see the next week's episode, seeing him with the new gear and the shield and becoming our new Captain America. I'm trying to think of something else in the episode. We saw Madame Hydra, played by Julie Louis-Dreyfus, drop in. I'm sure she's going to stick around the MCU going forward. She's a pretty big character. If you read the comics, she was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while. Hydra, just a lot of stuff. A character with a rich history. I think she was played in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. by somebody else. I'm not too sure of that. If you guys know, correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm pretty sure we saw her somewhere, like a different version of her. But she's going to be in the MCU for a while. And of course, the ending of the episode, which we all saw, the first post-credit scene of the Falcon and Winter Soldier, we see John basically creating his own shield out of the metals. And we know what's going to happen. He's going to become the U.S. agent. So that's going to be fun. And that was episode number 5. So we're going to go to some news real quick. Let's see. Okay, I got it right here. Almost. My computer froze up for a second. There we go. Okay. This week we had the teaser for Castlevania Netflix series, the 4th and final season, which I think sucks. The episode count has got up steadily. Like, I think season 1 was like 3 or 4 episodes, and season 2 was 6. And then this season is going to be 10. May 13th it's going to return. Basically, if you guys have never played the game, it's about the Belmont family and Dracula and everything in between. I think they've done a phenomenal job the first 3 seasons. It's going to really suck to see it end. But with these series nowadays, especially on streaming platforms, the good thing about them is, unlike episodic TV series on television, like, you know, Fox or NBC, these series are going to have an ending. They have a definitive ending, and I like that. So we're going to get 10 episodes with beginning in May 13th. Speculation, we think Dracula is going to come back. If you guys saw season 3, you did see Dracula in A Vision of Hell. I'm not sure if they're going to do that. I'm not sure they're going to follow the games. My brother texted me a while ago, and he said, do you think they're going to do the storyline from Castlevania 2? And if you guys have never played it, it was an old Super Nintendo game. And the whole premise of the game is you had to find Dracula's body parts, his heart, his ribs or something, his, I really forgot. It's been a while since I played the game. Excuse me for that. And you basically had to find all his body parts to build him up to kill him again for good. I don't think they're going to do such a silly storyline like that. That wouldn't be worth anything, but it'd be interesting to see. But that's May 13th. In other news, Alfred Molina confirms he is returning as Dr. Octopus. This rumor was a while back. We heard Alfred Molina may or may not. But Alfred Molina basically confirmed in a Variety interview he was approached by director John Watts, who also runs Watts, that Dr. Octopus drowned at the end of the previous appearance. According to Molina, Watts replied in this, "No one ever really dies in this universe." So I think it's going to be a quick cameo. I don't see Doc Ock lasting a long time, but it's a cool little thing to have him in there. You know, I like where this Spider-Man 3 is going. What is it? No Way Home. They're going multiverse. Toby has not been confirmed, nor Andrew. I think Andrew might be, but I'm not sure about Toby. But I want to see the different Spider-Mans. I want to see Spider-Man 2099. If you guys ever saw Into the Spider-Verse, I think it was Oscar Isaacs who voiced the 2099 version. And I think that'd be kind of cool to throw him in there. If you guys ever watched Spider-Man, the Ultimate Spider-Man, it was an animated series a couple years back. I got on board watching that. And I just thought it was just so fun. Such a fun series. Almost like Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, if you guys have watched in the early 80s, if you're old enough to remember that. That series, to me, was great. And, of course, to lead into another piece of news, Daniel Barnes, the voice of the animated Spider-Man of the 90s, has been approached to come into the Spider-Verse. Nothing is confirmed yet. That's from the rap. He's in negotiations. So if he's in negotiations, it looked like it's going to happen, but nothing is confirmed yet. That'd be kind of cool to have Daniel on there. He's another voice of Spider-Man that I enjoyed thoroughly. It'd be good to see him back. That original series had so many good storylines that they adapted so well from the comics. They adapted the Venom saga, Carnage, a couple into the multi. They were the first ones to do Into the Spider-Verse in the last season with Madame Web and basically Spider-Man recruiting different Spider-Man to stop the ultimate evil, which, spoilers if you haven't seen it already, was Peter Parker from a different dimension. He basically had taken on the Carnage symbiote, and he just went insane. And probably one of the best touching episodes ever in that finale is the Spider-Man of the original universe is battling this evil one. And the only way he could stop him was to get an Uncle Ben from a different universe to basically talk him down. And probably one of the best scenes, he just looks at Peter and says, "Look, it's okay, Peter. It was not your fault what happened to me." And you see basically this evil, powerful Spider-Man breaking down and crying. And basically that's how he stopped and he just went away. But that scene alone, it just sticks in my head, stories like that. And it's going to be cool to see Daniel Barnes back in that. So just be on the lookout for that. Like, nothing confirmed, but I think he will return. The first trailer for DC's Legends of Tomorrow dropped season 6. Also, on that note, Dominic Purcell put out a long post on Instagram, which everybody saw, saying, "Hey, man, great times. I'm leaving Legends. See ya." And then he kind of rebutted the whole thing today, basically saying, "Oh, I'm not really leaving. I'll be back for some guest episodes." I think he'll be back sporadically. But when you're part of a show for so long, like he has, you miss other opportunities, movie opportunities, maybe series opportunities, because these actors are paid certain rates when you're on a TV show for that long time, especially Legends. Like, I don't know, there are 13 episodes, and maybe sometimes actors need to stretch their wings and do something else. So I like the character. Like, to me, Heatwave was not a great character in the comics. I thought he was kind of lame, and Dominic has brought something to it, and that's the good thing. You know, you always want to bring something new. It's kind of like Wentworth Miller when he was Captain Cold. I never thought Captain Cold was a stupid villain with a park on. You know, he brought something to Captain Cold that was entirely different from the comic book, and that's a good thing to see. Like, the actors, they take these roles seriously and not actually, "Oh, they're silly, ha ha ha." So that's a fun thing to see. Amazon's Lord of the Rings series reportedly costs $465 million for one season. Amazon hasn't been shy about the plans to deliver the next Lord of the next Game of Thrones. And they say here, according to this, they're going to be filming in New Zealand. And for comparison, the final season of Game of Thrones had a budget of $15 million. So for the first season of Lord of the Rings, $465 million. I guess they still think the Tolkien universe has some depth and people want to watch it. It'll take place in the Third Age, from what I recall of a news report we did a couple months ago. That should be fun. Will we see Sauron? Will we see the Elves? We're going to see all that stuff. It's a rich world. Very rich world. And, you know, basically, I hope we see Sauron. I hope we see the beginning of Sauron here. How he went to becoming what he was. You know, instead of like in the Lord of the Rings series, which I liked, you know, and they're held in such high regard, and I understand why, and, you know, if you ever watched Clerks 2, there's an argument between two people. They talk about the Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, and basically somebody, while they're having this conversation, and a guy walks up. I think it's Jay. I'm not sure. I have to watch it again. Jay basically walks up. "Oh, Lord of the Rings or Star Wars? Let me tell you how Lord of the Rings 1 goes." And he's basically walking. Then part 2, walking. The third one, drop the ring. And that's basically what it is. It's a really funny moment if you guys have never checked it out in Clerks 2. But yeah, that's first season, $465 million. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not sure if it doesn't say if they're shooting right now, but they want to deliver the best. They want to make the next Game of Thrones. And Amazon has got the money to do it. So, hey, why not do it? What else do we got here? I got a couple more things before I bid you guys goodbye. We got our first trailer of Resident Evil Infinite Darkness. And if you guys have never, like, this is like that animation that looks very realistic. I forgot what they call it. There's a specific name they call it, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. But if you guys are Resident Evil fans, it basically focuses on Claire and Leon. Great moment where they're going to the White House saying, hey, Leon, you're wearing a suit now. You're not in your action gear. And it's just a little teaser, but it's like of things to come. The animation looks fantastic. And basically, I think this series is taking place after the incident of the 1998 game in Raccoon City, which I love. I love. It's going to be coming out in July. Looks really cool. Graphics look really cool. So that's awesome. Awesome. So hopefully we'll check that out. Godzilla vs. Kong topped the box office again. The movie's made $465 million, which I think in this pandemic age, I think it is very impressive. Very quite impressive. And I've seen the movie several times. I think it's just fun. If you guys want to watch giant kaijus and a giant ape fighting each other, you will not be disappointed. It's fun. It's just a fun movie. Don't take into the regard of the human characters. Just watch it for what it is. It's a spectacle. It's cool. It's fun. Like, just do it. Just kind of take yourself away from reality for a while and just sit back and get some popcorn and hang out and, you know, enjoy yourself. We're next to last. Gabriel Luna has been cast as Tommy in The Last of Us. The Last of Us, this is brought to you by Deadline. Word brings that Gabriel Luna has joined the series as Joel's brother. Joel is like the main protagonist as Tommy. Tommy was introduced in the original Last of Us with Jeffrey Pierce providing his voice. Players met him during the game's prologue when he helped Joel and his daughter Sarah escape. Also during the outbreak of the cloak, I'm going to butcher this. I think it's called the Crobus virus. Anyway, God bless you. Joel found them living in a settlement in Wyoming. Powered by hydronic, blah, 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 blah. So basically, it's his brother and, you know, you're going to get a backstory because I think they're not going to just leave him anyway. But Gabriel Luna, I thought he did a great job as Ghost Rider on S.H.I.E.L.D. He also did a good, pretty good job in that last Terminator movie, which I thought was kind of garbage and ruined the whole series for me. But he was solid as the new Terminator and very physical actor. He's going to add some stuff to it, and I look forward to it. We'll see what else they have. And finally, this is a new story from last week that I got. Basically, what they're saying is the Gotham PD series that's going to be coming to HBO Max will be centered on Jim Gordon and the police force. Now, I thought people would argue and say, wait a minute, wasn't that what was Gotham supposed to be? And it sort of was, but Gotham kind of morphed into like a different type of thing. If you guys get like, I have to look at Gotham as sort of like a different multiverse type of show because it's not the Gotham that I know. It's not the Batman I know. The characters, like, they just totally distorted a lot of the origins. And I think, you know, my co-host told me one time, if you look at it as a multiverse type of show, which I did, I enjoyed it. Like, it's not the original. It's not the comics. Like, I still have the comics. I go back to the comics for reference every time. Like, okay, well, they're doing that version. I'm looking at this version. And I think it's a pretty cool version. So they're going to focus. And basically, I think what we talked about on this podcast before specifically is, you know, if you're going to have Batman in the show, make him the Shadow. Like, I think Gotham Central in that comic did that. That comic basically focused on the police force and Jim Gordon, what was going on in their lives, like the corruption going on within the department. Batman was there, but he was more of a shadow. Like, he was, like, at the crime scene. Like, if, like, something big came up, you would see, like, if the Calendar Man showed up and they couldn't find him. They would find him, like, in an abandoned building tied up, and you would see, like, a shadow or, like, a grappling hook sound. Like, oh, he's gone. He's in that world. And I think that is the major mistake that the Gotham TV show on Fox did. Like, I didn't want to see a baby Bruce Wayne, a baby Selina Kyle. I wanted to see, like, the world with Batman in it. Like, you didn't even have to have Batman in the show. Just show, like, a couple shadows here and there. Like, or the sound of the Batmobile. Like, he's out there. But they chose not to do it because it's a Warner Brothers specialty. And, you know, they have to do what they have to do. So, anyway, guys, that's it for this week of Heroes of Salem, issue 111. I hope you guys enjoyed it, because I did. And as always, you can find us at our social media platforms. Kane, tell them where it is. Well, you can find us at Twitter, Heroes Asylum_podcast, and at Instagram at The Heroes Asylum. And check out my other podcast, Low Blows and Chair Shots. I think episode 9-8 is out right now. I'm not sure. And as always, from Mike, to me, to you, to everybody else, get to the asylum.